Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So we had a good baseball weekend. White Sox sweep away the Kansas City Royals, and they are alone in first place. Cubs take 2 of 3 from a bad Pirate team, but 2 of 3 nonetheless. 5 of their last 6, I believe. 6 of their last 8. So they're playing much better baseball. But I want to start with this. Hoodie, good morning. Hope you had a good Mother's Day weekend.
Yes. Good morning to you, sir.
Let's see. The White Sox are 3rd-best record in all of baseball. 2nd-best record in all the American League. They're one of the best pitching teams in the game. With men with 2 strikes on their hitters, they're one of the better hitting teams in baseball. And yet everyone wants to keep bashing Tony La Russa. Just stop. Just let this play out, man. Just let it play out. They had injury after it. Tim Anderson's been on the injured list. Luis Robert's done. Aloy Jimenez is down. Lance Lynn's been on the injured list. And they still sit in first place.
Yes, in first place. So how will they fare in the Sicca South this upcoming season? How will they fare in the IHSA with the opportunity to win state this year? Because when you're a White Sox fan, you go to Guaranteed Rate with a flag that says state on it, right? That's what you do. You see, Cap, it's about expectations. Mm-hmm. If you and I want to do this show in Phoenix to talk about the Diamondbacks, I'm sure that Bob Relly would love us to have us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so you and those that use the term relax or saying, hey, just what? Well, here's the thing. It's about expectations. Big boy market expectations. Mm-hmm. Just like all the other big cities, we're a big city too. Mm-hmm. I know, again, we're not rooting for the Kenosha Ants, okay? We're talking about the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a small market, small little deal, right? Mm-hmm. This is a big deal. So when Sox fans say, hey, I don't like what I saw here in this game, or I don't like how the pitcher is out there too long, or hey, he's got to know the rules, that's part of being in a big boy market. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm not going to relax. Here's what I said at the beginning of all this. I said I would have preferred someone of a modern day manager, someone that knows the game today. But Tony La Russa is a Hall of Fame manager. I can't fight City Hall. What am I going to do, kicking and screaming, saying I don't want this guy? I can't do that. I don't care if the Sox were down the dial. I would tell you the same thing, and that is Tony La Russa is the manager. What am I going to do about it? If the Sox can win with him, that's great. If they can overcome because of him, that also is great. But you can't give me the take that about Tony La Russa because the Sox are winning, because the talent is already there before La Russa got here.
Don't disagree with that. All I'm saying is that we crushed him for not knowing the rule, and we find out there's other guys. Jesse came on, so he talked to other managers. They didn't know it either. But that's irrelevant. You got to know the rule. That's your job, or someone on your staff does. We dealt with that last week.
Yes.
All I'm saying is that, like, every single day, he's blowing us this number of games. No, he actually hasn't. Has he made a few bad decisions? Yes, every manager does. He didn't know that rule. He got drilled for it. He wakes up this morning with a baseball team. Despite the injuries, they still have a lot of payroll flexibility. And guess what? They're all alone in first place in their division.
That's right. You know why? Because of the talent. Before we got here, the talent was there. I mean, you could add a little sprinkling of like your little Mercedes here and there, but ultimately, the talent was already there.
Did they win the division last year?
They went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they were what, 3rd place?
Yep.
He's got them in first. It is the 2nd week of May. Let's just let this play out But all I know is they have the third best record in the game. If that was on the north side, people would be like, David Ross, manager of the year. Oh, my God. Just let it play out here, man. You got a really good team. And maybe that guy's, like, every single decision he makes, he gets crucified for.
Yep. You know what that is? That's called expectations, pal. They deal with that in Boston. They deal with that in New York. Mm-hmm. They deal with that with L.A. with the Dodgers.
Agreed.
The same thing here with the White Sox. You see, when you're good, Cap, you just don't want to be good and just be a bridesmaid. You want to get all of it. You want to be able to get to the top.
Agreed.
And win it. And so from a White Sox fan standpoint, I'm not speaking for all White Sox fans, but what I will say is that the scrutiny and getting a little closer up to your seat, your lazy boy, and say, all right, 2-2, what are we going to do here in the fifth? I mean, that's when you're like, yeah, there's expectations to win. Mm-hmm. I like it because you'd rather have that than the opposite of saying, well, we lost today and La Russa made a bad play, but we'll go get them tomorrow.
Agreed, because you have a team that you believe, and again, I know they've been decimated by injury. You have a team that has a chance.
Yes.
Like, if you were an Orioles fan and you were doing this show in Baltimore with me.
Right.
Brandon Hyde goes, yeah, I think we're making progress. It's a long route. You'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Right, yes.
But you wake up, you're in first freaking place. Now, again, it's not the greatest division. I'm going tomorrow night with my son for his birthday. The Twins are in town. You're telling me I'm going to sit there, the two of us, fully vaccinated, going, game on.
Absolutely.
I'm going to watch good baseball.
Against the team I dislike the most, absolutely. The strongest sports hate I have is to the Twins.
And in any sport?
Oh, no question. No question. Oh, I can't stand them.
So you're like me with the Cardinals.
They've been beating us like a drum for, don't let me start swearing here, but they've been beating us like a drum for years.
Right.
Okay, so that's why I have a major issue with the mm-hmm. Twins over the years because they've been so good. But I like the intensity. And you know what? 35th and Vec won't admit it, but they like it too. They like the spotlight. Now, listen, they don't like the public embarrassment, the national embarrassment of people saying that La Russa doesn't know the rules or La Russa is over his head or the game's passed. They don't like that. I'm sure they don't like that. But they like the idea that at least they're in the conversation.
Right.
They're interesting. And that's what makes it interesting to me. You can't give me the take that this morning of, hey, look at the teams in first place, look at La Russa. No. Both can be true. You can have that critical eye on La Russa and root for the team at the same time.
Agreed. I did that with Joe Madden. Danny and I would battle every morning in our meeting on the air. And that's because there was expectation. The team had won a World Series, and I didn't see that happening again under his watch. And we'll get to that later because Pujols blasted him.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, I'm just telling you, if you're waking up and ready to blast on Tony, I don't mean you, everyone out there, blast on Tony La Russa, just dial it back, man. They're in first place. Just let this play out. Let's see what happens. If he becomes an impediment to their success, we'll say it. But right now, you're waking up on Monday, the 10th of May.
Well, we have said it.
Right. But I'm saying as Hoodie, we go on.
Can you tag me in, Hoodie? Can we do the White Sox tag team?
Jeff?
Thank you. Cap, who's blasting Tony La Russa today after they swept him?
Oh, God.
I
didn't say anyone was.
You kind of did. You just said, if you're blasting Tony La Russa this morning,
no,
they're
I said
in first
if you're
place.
Waking up wanting to blast Tony La Russa.
Nobody blasts the manager after you just swept your division opponent.
My God.
Who's scuffling. We were blasting Tony La Russa on Thursday. Right? Was it Thursday or Wednesday?
Yes.
After the Reds fiasco. We've now, they still have the, they have the best run differential in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rick Hahn should be getting the credit for that. The roster, they have the best pitching staff starting rotation in baseball.
Right, so the manager gets no credit.
I mean,
and if the pitching staff was pitching poorly and you didn't have the best run differential, you and all your guys in black and white would be freaking ripping the manager. Just stop. It's just a stupid conversation because just let it play out. All I know is they wake up May 10th, and if you're a fan of that team, you're in first place. And you got payroll flexibility. They're not over the luxury tax. They're not at 190 million. They got room, man. And as soon as somebody good becomes available, it's on Rick Hahn to go get him, and I'll bet you he does. I would love my team to be in the same position. Filled with young talent. All right, there's some injuries. Guess what? That thing's heading in the right direction.
Absolutely it is. No one is saying it's not. However, if there's a game that La Russa clearly screwed up, I'm not going to turn a blind eye to it.
You shouldn't.
We're in the right direction, but La Russa's screwing it up. I can't do that because every game means something now.
Agreed. But
do you know how many games that I watched between the end of Ozzy to where we are right now where those games didn't mean much?
Yeah,
because Robin was asleep in the hammock. You understand? Like the guy was not fully engaged with the ball club. Rick Renteria, the A to B manager. You know how hard that was to live through that as a White Sox fan? 800-plus losses of that nonsense? Going to the ballpark knowing that your team can't come back in the 7th or the 8th? This is why every pitch matters. And Tony La Russa, for a guy that was out of baseball, for him to be part of this team, hitching his wagon to this team, that's a good thing. That's the reason why he's here is because even Jerry knows this could be a winner. So I say, I'm going to hook up my friend. Hey, man, this is an opportunity for you to win a World Series with me.
Agreed.
This is going to be great.
Agreed. And that's all my point is, that you wake up today, got great pitching going, you got great run differential going, you've dealt with more than your fair share injuries, and if I put a poll question out there about Tony La Russa, it would be negative, and they're in first place.
That's okay.
Just let this keep going.
That's okay.
Just keep playing well.
You know what? That's all right, though. Let people say what they want to say about La Russa, as long as they're talking about the team. How often were the Sox, in your paper, the fourth page in the sports?
And got like 4 inches, and the Cubs got 4 pages.
Think about that.
Agreed.
Let it happen.
Agreed.
Let the controversy. Listen, I always believe in sports, Cap, that there it's good for someone to have the black hat. Antagonist, protagonist. It's always good to have someone with a black hat. Everyone can't walk around with white hats.
Mm-hmm.
If the Sox are the team or La Russa the guy with the black hat, let it be. Let it be.
He's got big shoulders.
Let the slings and arrows go to him. As long as the ball club wins. I don't care. Now, when they win, of course, it's a collective. Everybody wins. But on May 10th, if people have an issue with La Russa and some of the things he's done, no problem with it. Doesn't bother me because I'm watching the ball club. I got youth to watch. I see the window open for the next 7 or 8 years. As I told you, I don't think the Sox are going to win the World Series this year. But next year, oh, God. Because you got a little seasoning. You had a little taste of it last year with the playoffs in the shortened season. Things are definitely headed in the right direction. With or without La Russa, it's going to happen in a good way for this White Sox team.
All right, 312-332-3776. Cubs have won 5 of 6. But is there one player on the team that we kind of need to worry about? That's next.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Rolling on, Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000. Hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. Had a lot of fun. It was a little emotional. But
it's always emotional, man.
Yeah.
It always is.
Went to the cemetery yesterday. That was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Very. I was amazed how crowded it was.
Well, we talked about that on Friday. Because it's the holiday. Try to go in the middle of the week when it's kind of quiet.
I went at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, what is this? I'm going around car. I'm like, really?
Any picnic tables out there? Do you see any of that out there?
I did not see picnic tables, but I did see chairs. People sitting on chairs.
Mm-hmm. In abundance? Like a couple people? 4 or 5?
I'm going to say I saw half a dozen.
Oh, God.
I mean, were...
Get out of there.
It was like, is there a ball game here? Yeah, I took my dog out with me.
Is there a ball game?
Yeah. I was going to say not for the air, but I told you guys, I got out of the car with Yoshi. We're going to walk up to my parents' graves.
Yes.
And Yoshi decided to relieve himself on someone else's grave.
Oh, the Schwartzes. That's a shame.
It's like, wow.
Well, that's because dogs know.
Right.
They know.
Didn't like them. He died in 1974, Yoshi. I don't know. Anyway.
It's something that the dog knows.
That's it. That is it. So we were talking about Tony La Russa. And again, I agree with Hoodie. It's fair to criticize when you don't know a rule. We were hard on him last week, and rightly so. I don't care if it's a dumb rule. You got to know the rule. But I also think it's fair to say, from my seat, you're in first place. Let's let this play out. You can, day by day, absolutely be critical or praiseworthy as the situation demands. But the rest of it?
What do you think they're saying in New York about the Yankees? Now, things have turned around a little bit, but, I mean, starting off horribly.
Horribly.
Horrible.
Correct.
And the same thing with the Mets and the, you know, that's just being a fan, man. That's being invested.
Agreed.
I love the investment.
Day to day. Day, that's what's so great about baseball. Day by day. It is.
How about your Cubs?
So the Cubs have won 5 of 6. Their offense has been better over the last 2.5, 3 weeks. They had a 16-run game and another one, big one here. They lose 13-12 to the Reds a week ago yesterday. Then you sweep the Dodgers, enjoy a day off.
That's amazing.
Take the first two from the Pirates and nearly come back and win again yesterday. Get it to 6-5. Baez is up, and they showed the highlight as he was coming up. This is Javi Baez on Mother's Day 2016 when he hit the walk-off to beat Dusty in the Nationals with the pink all over the place, and there's the packed house and the bleachers. And I'm thinking, wow, here we go. 6-5 after Vargas doubles into the corner, and then Javi grounded out. So,
yeah, but you're winning 5 out of the last 6, and I think that that's the positive. Now, I find it interesting, though, where you say, well, it's just the lowly Pirates. Brother, that was just you 3 weeks ago, the lowly Cubs.
You were below the Pirates.
Yeah, don't just set aside like, oh, it's just the Pirates. Oh, no, no. Every win matters. Every series win matters for the Cubs because you're trying to be able to garner some kind of momentum. You can't take another summer cap of a ball club hitting as poorly as the Cubs have, right? You can't deal with that again. You want to have at least – here's if I'm a Cub fan, here's what I'm rooting for. Something interesting because I know that the end's coming of this core. It's coming. So I'm just rooting for interesting right now.
Right.
Something I can watch. I could sit down and be like, okay, if we get beat, that's one thing. But can we win the series? Are we competitive? That's what I would want to know as a Cub fan.
Agreed. And what's our plan?
That's a great question.
Because, like, for the last 2 years, we keep hearing, well, the end is here. This is the last day. Last year, this is it. We know that this is it. And, again, every guy other than Schwarber is here again.
Yep.
And they even brought back Jake to boot. But after this year, they got what, Danny, 16 guys on one-year deals? Or that they're in the final year of control? Is that right?
I'm looking at this roster.
I believe so, yeah.
I'm looking at this roster, Danny. Do you see Jake Taboot? Is he from France? Is he a Montreal guy? Was he an Expo?
He was an Expo.
Oh, Jake Taboot.
Look
him up for me. Jeff, look up Jake Taboot for me. Thank you.
He's a good player.
All right.
Jake Taboot is a really good player.
Good.
Anyway, he's supposed to throw this week, Jake Arrieta. He's supposed to throw this week. Nico Horner's taking what they call dry swings.
I've had those. I've had those.
Dry.
When the wife's out of town. Yeah. No, pitch. Outside, want to know. I've had those from time
but
to time.
What is going on with my guy, Kyle Hendricks? I love that guy. He's this quality human being. He's had a really wonderful career.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was like a death by a thousand paper cuts. They hit a ground ball to Vargas. He's at short because Javi strained his lower back. He can't get the throw over to keep Rizzo on the bag. They get a little bleeder here, a little blooper there. It's 4-0. I'm like, wait, really?
Well, they're going with the pitch. You know that's not an overpowering fastball. Everything's 85, 89, somewhere in there. And you're just going with the pitchers. It's either that he's tipping his pitches this year, or it's just that you're watching very close in the film and just like, I just got to hit this curveball, or I got to hit this outside pitch. I just have to go with it. It's not to the point where teams are pounding him as far as a home run ball. But I see just a lot of keeping the line moving, a lot of base hits. That's what I keep seeing.
Yeah.
Is Hendricks tipping his pitches?
I don't think so, because yesterday it wasn't like they were hitting these rockets. It was just a little grounder here. Oh, yeah. God, nobody's there.
Sure.
So, yeah, I don't think he is. I just, for whatever reason, he doesn't look locked in. And I thought after the last start, when he shut out the Dodgers, complete game, 7-inning, albeit in the doubleheader, he was outstanding.
That's right.
And then yesterday, I'm watching the game. I played a 3-team parlay yesterday. I had the White Sox, the Bulls, and the Cubs.
Oh, I told you not
that
to do
plan
that.
Plan is moot.
I told you not to do that. Why don't see? This is a perfect example of you not listening to me at all. Like,
by the way, I watched like two more episodes of Last Chance U yesterday. Phenomenal.
Makes you want to go back to coaching. So the point is, though, Cap, is that you never listen to me. I've told you this at least twice now. Don't do the Chicago parlay. Don't do that. Someone will bite you. Usually the Bulls.
Well, I thought the Hawks might bite me, so I left them out. I hope they win. They're going to have fans. Maybe it'll be leave them out. Had the Bulls, winner. White Sox, easy winner. And Javi's up there in the ninth, and I'm like, wow, we got it to 6-5. Here we go.
You talk about a guy that plays it right to the edge. Now, you're looking for a sweep, two sweeps coming in this morning. You know that's impossible. Our teams, someone's going to let you down. It is Chicago after all, right? I mean, you should. I told you, don't do the Chicago parlay. Do two and then do something from the outside. You just want to come in and just pound your chest like, I won the Chicago parlay. Our teams won. Take that. Yeah. No. I tell you not to do that. You never listen.
I did not listen to you on that one. I did not.
Just take the outside teams. You have a better shot. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, look. I mean, the Cubs against the Pirates, it seems like that's a good bet, right? Because you feel Kyle Hendricks against Anderson, a good opportunity. But you just never know, man. You just never know. As a matter of fact, I wasn't sure the White Sox could win yesterday. And by the way, our Thanksgiving conversation, I know you don't recall this, but the show right before Thanksgiving, where I got pounded on the show by saying, I think that Giolito can be a leader, the best pitcher in Chicago sports. I thought that he'd be the best pitcher in Chicago baseball. Well, you took Hendricks and I took Giolito. Looks like neither one of us are right so far.
Correct. Carlos Rodon, anybody?
you had Hendricks said there's no question that Hendricks is the best pitcher in Chicago baseball. And I said it's going to be Giolito's going to take a step, and neither one of these guys can get over five innings yesterday.
Right. Well.
So there you go.
But I do like what I'm seeing from Carlos Rodon.
That's not what I expected. And now here come the Indians. And boy, another great opportunity for the Cubs, too. The Indians have been no-hit twice already this season. Maybe that means some positive for the Cubs taking on the Indians on the road.
Okay, so you have only game tonight is the Blackhawks taking on the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Here.
Yep.
Bulls are off. And then tomorrow we got three of our teams playing. Cubs play the Indians in Cleveland.
Yep.
White Sox home against Minnesota. Ooh. And Brooklyn at the United Center against the Bulls.
I would fade
two. Sports night.
Fade two of those.
You'd probably go Brooklyn.
Yep.
White Sox, Indians.
Not sure about the White Sox in that spot. I don't know who's. I got to look at who's starting. Not so sure. I think the Sox can take the series. I don't know about Tuesday. We'll see. Let's see what Grandal's hitting. Is he still going to be hitting a 109 with that strong on base percentage?
Hey man, he's short someone. He's 113.
Did you see what he accomplished over the weekend in his four game stretch?
His on base percentage is 378.
Yeah, but so he did you see what he what happened because he has prior to yesterday's game, he walked 13 times over a four game stretch. Only one other American League player had ever done that. Do you know who?
Don't tell me. I'm gonna say. Is he still alive?
He is not.
He is not alive.
Oh,
I'm going to say Ty Cobb.
Babe Ruth. The only man to ever do what Yasmani Grandal did in a four-game stretch.
And that is, say it again?
He walked 13 times without getting a hit in a four-game stretch.
How about that?
Only one other person did it, National Leaguer.
Bonds?
He is currently still playing.
Oh.
And he's a very good player. He's one of Danny's favorites.
Bryce Harper?
Yes. So Bryce Harper, Yasmani Grandal, and Babe Ruth. There's a trio that accomplished that feat.
How about that?
Boy, not even Bonds, huh?
No, that was a surprising to me.
Not even Bonds. We've seen him intentionally walk with the bases loaded.
By Joe Madden.
Yes.
Correct.
Smart.
Very smart.
So.
Brilliant move.
Wow.
Anyway, 312-332-3776. A scandal in the Kentucky Derby. That leads us to this question. Is horse racing the dirtiest of all sports? Next.
scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and J-Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
So my buddy Gary Bennett texted me, said, hey, it was Buck Showalter that walked Barry Bonds with bases loaded. Joe Maddon walked Josh Hamilton when he was hitting like 70 billion home runs with the bases loaded. So it's happened twice. I don't remember any others.
Okay.
So, but it worked.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Man, you just don't want to get bludgeoned, bases loaded, and a guy that can hurt you with a grand slam. Sure. You're playing the odds there.
So over the weekend, actually it broke yesterday morning, but Bob Baffert found out a couple days ago that Medina Spirit, who won the Kentucky Derby, his drug test was failed because he had taken a particular drug that is allowed. You can use it. It's betamethasone. It's an anti-inflammatory drug. It revealed 21 picograms of betamethasone. Danny had an analogy that they had used, I think, on SportsCenter.
Bob Baffert was on SportsCenter yesterday with Kenny Mayne, and he said it's basically 21 single grains of salt and an entire swimming pool full of salt.
Okay, so the deal is that you can take this. It's a corticosteroid, meaning it's a man-made steroid that resembles cortisol, a natural hormone produced by the adrenal gland. However, you have to have it out of your system 14 days prior to the Derby. A mandatory post-race urine test revealed that he had some steroid inflammatory medication used to decrease pain. They will do a second sample, which they took at the same time. It's not like they've waited almost 2 weeks. And they will test that. If that one is also determined to be positive, he will be stripped of the Kentucky Derby. So is that... I know it's bad look for Baffert and all of that.
And the sport.
No question. Is horse racing, in your opinion, and I know you're a novice, you're not out at the track all the time.
That was my dad.
Bob Hood loved the track.
Sportsman.
Yeah. He loved it.
Yes.
Yes. Is it the dirtiest of all the sports?
No, it's boxing. But horse racing's in the team photo. You see, we always exalt, for especially these majors, like in the Preakness is right around the corner, we always exalt Bob Baffert because he is the Bill Belichick of the sport in a lot of ways. It's funny that he and Belichick are very good friends. 29 times you had this situation where a horse has been tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is he still in the sport, Cap? Outside of the money that he brings, because of the prestige that he brings. When you see that white hair walking through the track, you say, oh, that's Bob Baffert, because he's so unique in that regard, right?
Right.
So if you have 29 horses that's tested positive, then why is he still around the sport? There's an issue there. I saw him at the paddock, and he was just, by the way, just so impromptu, right? Where's the backdrop? Like other press conferences, he's hanging around the barn.
That was at his facility.
No step and repeat, nothing behind them. Very strange. Nonetheless, I think that when you've had all these horses that have had this issue, why is he allowed to still be in the sport? Because if this is any other sport, he wouldn't be around.
So he said it is nothing that any of us on our team did. He said there's going to be an investigation. There are some people in the industry who believe they want to tear him down, so it wouldn't shock them because it's illegal. Let me just be clear. It is legal to be used. It just has to be stopped 14 days prior to the Kentucky Derby. He said we didn't even administer that drug to this horse. So could someone have taken a little syringe and gone, take that? Yeah, I guess that's possible. You would think at the Derby, they've got cameras everywhere, right?
Yes.
But maybe it happened before he got shipped over to Churchill. Maybe he was training somewhere else.
Well, that's your responsibility as a trainer, isn't it, pal? Isn't that his responsibility?
I would think.
Well, I don't know why he's allowed to still be around the sport then, because I can understand if it's one time. 29 times? Is it four times this year? How many times has he had something where there was a controversy? I think it was at least several times.
Well, I know he
had
one in the Breeders a year ago. Gamine was another horse of his and tested for too high a level of this legal steroid that you use.
One of the talking points that is kind of set aside is what you and I talked about going into this, in that you heard Baffert said, "I can't believe this little horse. I can't believe this little horse won. I mean, look at him. Just a little. I mean, I had no idea this. Apparently, you did. Unless he's just completely incredulous. It's like, I didn't think that horse is going to win. He won. How did he do that? Well, I think we know how he did it. See, the buck stops with him because he's at the top of this thing.
And so
when you get caught, now I don't want Baffert around the Preakness. I don't want him around for the rest of the year. I don't want any of his horses around for these big events. Why should he? Why should he be allowed to be able to have his horses around? If we talk about this in baseball terms, we talk about this in boxing terms, why is he allowed to still be around? Why?
Yeah, I can't answer that.
I'll tell you why he's allowed to be around. He's the best thing going for horse racing. He is the only person of prominence in the entire sport of horse racing that people know his name.
That's great, but I mean, if he's still around and his horses always win, I can't get any money off of that.
I understand what you're saying, but, like, let's be honest. Horse racing is popular for an older demographic, right? I don't know how many young people are paying attention to horse racing. Cap. But one thing I know for certain, if you said name one person in the sport of horse racing, I would bet you out of 100 people, 90% would be able to say Bob Baffert, and that's it.
But that controversy is not good for the sport because if his horses are always winning, I can't get any money from that. The odds are always too good, right?
This horse was 12 to freaking 1.
You know, but the value is better when it's 25 to 1, 35 to 1.
Mandaloon, who ran second, was 26 to 1.
I'd want my money. And if you're a good sports betting app, you might want to consider that for your people. I'm just saying, like, you still got the ticket. Like, well, you might want to consider that. You got cheated. You got cheated at the Kentucky Derby.
I think Baffert's taking too much heat. Why is nobody blaming the horse? He's the athlete in this case.
Do you think Baffert goes to the stable and goes, I feed you well, we put you in all these luxury, beautiful accommodations, and you and your friends had to go out and do that to me?
Well, you know, as Nancy Reagan once said, just say nay!
Just say nay.
You guys want to hear something funny? I was saving this for Shot or No Shot. You're joking about Bob Baffert talking to the horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, Bob Baffert was on SportsCenter with Kenny Mayne. Here's what he had to say about why he feels bad this went down for the horse.
This has been horrible for the horse. He ran his heart out, and I just hate seeing this for him to go through this, and it's just tough.
The horse is going through this. He hates the horse go through this.
Have you talked to the horse about that?
I was going to ask you in Shot or No Shot, the horse knows what's going on.
Dude, I just feel bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, it felt good in my legs, you know what I'm saying? And I just felt like if I just take a little something extra and just kind of wiggle it around, keep it in my system, I can win this race. Because they didn't really think I could win. And so I won. So I feel good about it. You know what I'm saying?
Nah. Chubby, ultimately, that's what it was, right? How are you not outraged by this? I mean, this is your sport.
It is.
For the old-timers, this is your sport.
You say old-timers. My kids, they're my kids.
Yeah.
Nick texted us on vacation. Who should I bet in the Derby?
Sure.
Play Medina Spirit.
Well, that's
and he did.
He's a sports gambler and it's your kids. Of course they're into it.
Right.
But I mean, I'm just you should be outraged by this. But see, just because he's around, it's almost like the Don King effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Don King is bad for boxing, but he was always still around, right? People are still betting on the fights, even though, you know, King was corrupt.
And he still had the biggest fighters with him.
Yes. Same thing here with Baffert in that same way.
Okay.
See, that makes – but here's the thing. He's around, Cap. Great. But, again, his horses are always the favorites. So I'm not winning a ton of money.
All right. So you said boxing's the dirtiest sport?
For sure.
I think it's either the Tour de France, because I think every one of them is hopped up on joy juice and doing all of that. I absolutely think it's the Tour de France. What about baseball? What about baseball?
What about it?
We had a whole freaking era of steroids. We've got one of our great sluggers of all time in this city, Sammy Corkbat. Rizzo last week said to us, yeah, I mean, these pitchers are amazing, but you're telling me that would I be shocked if they're using sticky stuff to get more spin? No. We steal signs. We have a freaking world champion that stole signs and had a whole banging on a garbage can thing off of videos.
Correct.
So I don't think horse racing is the dirtiest sport.
I don't know enough about it, Hoodie. Maybe you can answer this for me, or maybe it's a Cap question because he is the horse guy. Is this going to hurt Medina Spirit's chances to make it to the Hall of Fame?
All right, 312-332-3776. What is the dirtiest sport out there? You guys are amazing.
Cap, J Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So do you think horse racing's the dirtiest sport? Hoodie says it's boxing. I think it's probably Tour de France, track and field. Victor Medina and a whole bunch of others on Twitter are saying track and field, hands down. Guy who has an interesting Twitter handle, Cap Shower Voice, said if the rickets by Churchill Downs, will they ever allow Medina Spirit to come inside again?
Is it your shower voice the same as your normal voice?
No shot.
Oh, no, it's creepy. It's like a whisper. It's like, hey, Jonathan, Cap here in the shower today.
Oh, is it?
No, it was when I did the video about Khalil Mack getting traded to the Bears. I was in the shower going out of my mind.
And it was a creepy voice. It was like a creepy, like kind of like whispery kind of.
Creepy, he says.
It was creepy.
So the question still stands. Does your voice in the shower sound like it does now?
Ryan Pace, you keep doing what you do, buddy. All you haters and naysayers.
Tell me that wasn't creepy.
Well, I guess that answers my question. Ultra creepy.
Ultra creepy.
Well, I mean, I asked you. You had your opportunity.
Where's the part where I'm screaming like, take that, yeah! It's in there.
Good morning.
Oh, well, yeah, that's great. A little shiny action. That's good.
Who says
good morning. Themselves? Guess who woke up a bear this morning?
Who says to themselves, I'm going to take an Instagram or Twitter video in the shower?
Me.
Can't wait till I get out. Can't do it before I get in. Got to do it,
Danny,
in the shower.
I was getting into the shower and my phone buzzed that I had an alert. Adam Schefter, Bears training for Khalil Mack. I'm not waiting.
So you're in the shower checking your phone?
No. Yes. I set the phone next to the shower, like outside on a little ledge. But it's right there. And as I'm stepping into the water, it buzzes, and I have to check.
I look,
and it's Adam Schefter, 7:30 in the morning, Saturday. Chicago Bears are acquiring Khalil Mack from the Oakland Raiders. And I'm like,
good morning. Guess who woke up a bear this morning?
So you couldn't turn the shower off, put your clothes back on?
No, I was already half wet. And you'll hear, I get fired up. Of course, he only cuts it off at the creepy parts. Yeah.
That's the only ones that Chris put in the system, I think.
Ryan Page, you keep doing what you do, buddy. All you haters and naysayers, take that.
It's really the only parts you need.
Well, I'm skeeved out on that. That's awful. That's awful. Why don't you do your recaps like that? You know, the nighttime shower. Why don't you do that?
I might.
Yeah, why don't you just do that? Go back to the shower. That's good. Because that's good for business. You in the shower sounded like that. That's good for business.
Got 230,000 views. It was.
That's great if you're 18.
Anyway, dirtiest sport. We were talking dirtiest sport. You said boxing. Why?
Because you don't know whether or not the fight that you're watching is real or not. It is real when you watch it, but the judges might see something completely different. You've seen these fights before.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Bruce. Sure, he's had a bet or two on a few fights. It's like, there's no question that this boxer's going to win. And all of a sudden, wait a second. What happened? Dirty judges. Dirty promoters.
I thought you meant like putting like something in the thumb of the glove. That used to go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sure. So that's why. And even today, Cap, it's still dirty. You say, wait, I know I saw this one fighter dominate the other fighter. For wait, how does the other fighter win? That's why it's different.
After Lance Armstrong beat like 16 different kinds of cancer that had spread to his brain, and now he wins, what, seven more or six more Tour de France? Mm-hmm. And then they find out that they take like all his blood out of his body, put more oxygen in, whatever the EPO, I think it's called. I'm like, okay, I can't trust any. If Lance Armstrong is freaking dirty, then I can't trust anything.
It's a good thing I don't watch.
Yeah, I had a joke from 10 years ago. Do you know how I know in cycling that you're dirty?
How's that?
You won. You won the Tour de France. That's how I know that you're doing something bad.
Right.
Doping.
It's like every year the winner was dirty.
It wasn't even the winner. There was a time where like the top seven or eight finishers
were all dirty.
Yeah. So it was like you can't compete in that sport if you're not.
It's a good thing I don't watch it to even know whether they're dirty or not. I just see the final on ESPN.com. Here's who won. All right, let's get to things that are important.
Right.
Like football.
Right.
Like baseball and basketball.
Yeah, a guy I do basketball games with, he was calling the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Like he went to France and he's there in the mountain doing this.
And then what else did Mitch Holthus tell you?
It was not Mitch Holthus.
Okay.
It was Steve Schlanger. And I said,
I bet it was.
Is that fun to call?
There's Steve Schlanger right there.
He loved it. Yeah, I'm like, so boring.
And yeah, what do you say as a play-by-play guy to cycling?
Look at him pounding away on that bike.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Pounding away!
Our guy Jesse Rogers on the weekend in Chicago baseball in exactly 2 minutes.
Ryan Page, you should keep doing what you do, buddy. All you haters and naysayers, take that.
Cap and J-Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.